This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. CYMBIOTIKA.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Diversion Podcasts.
I think the main thing is getting in shape. From what I hear, it's a very long season. A lot of basketball to be played and a lot of bumping and grinding. So I have to prepare myself physically. I'm getting in shape so my legs won't get tired. I know there's a lot of rookies. Nowadays, start to tend to hit a wall in the middle of the season. I think a lot of the great players in the past, Magic, Mike, but I don't think they've ever hit that wall. And I don't want to hit that wall. If I work hard because I possibly can this summer and I still hit the wall, I'm going to have to work even harder. Next year, I look at it as a positive. I might have a better feel for what's going on.
During this series, we've dived deep into Kobe Bryant's early life. We've talked about his family, his upbringing, his social life when he was a teenager, his decision to skip college and go straight from Lower Merion High School to the NBA. We've talked a lot about him as a person, which is a natural thing to do. Kobe was famous. Kobe was a mega celebrity. Kobe's photo could appear on the cover of People magazine, and everyone in the supermarket checkout line would recognize him. You didn't have to know anything about basketball to know who he was. But in this episode, we wanted to home in on Kobe as a basketball player. That's what that tape you heard at the top of this episode is all about. It's from the summer of 1996, and Kobe is talking about how he's preparing himself physically for the NBA. He says he doesn't want to hit that wall. He doesn't want to tire himself out completely before the regular season is finished. Magic Johnson didn't do that. Michael Jordan didn't do that. And Kobe didn't want to do it either. Here's the thing, though. he kinda did. At the end of that 1996-97 season, in an elimination game against the Utah Jazz, Kobe had one of the worst games of his career, maybe the worst. He shot 4 air balls in the closing minutes. His legs were gone. He had hit that wall.
Kobe Bryant, the young rookie straight from high school. 8 seconds left. Bryant guarded by Russell. 5 seconds left. 4. Bryant drive, pull up. Shot on the way. No good. Carmelo rebounds to go to overtime. Stockton all over. 9 seconds. 7 seconds. Here's a three-pointer. Air ball again by Kobe Bryant. Another air ball. 4 seconds left. It's Stockton. It's over. It's over. I do believe.
Of course, we know Kobe eventually figured out how to break through that wall. He made the All-Star game the following season, and 4 years later, when the Lakers won their second championship with him, he actually averaged more points per game and shot a better percentage from the field in the playoffs than he did during the regular season. Safe to say his conditioning was better by then. So for this episode, we really wanted to drill down on the physical and mental attributes that made him great on the court, the granular stuff that basketball junkies love. And we thought a cool way to do it would be to examine each stage of his life and career through the eyes of someone who knew Kobe well at each stage. So we have 3 coaches with ties to Kobe to break everything down. First, you'll hear from Ashley Howard, who grew up with Kobe and played against him when they were kids. He had been Jay Wright's top assistant coach on 2 national championship teams at Villanova. And now, he's the head coach at LaSalle University.
Yes, we have a new man in charge over LaSalle for the first time in 14 years. Ashley Howard will be the new coach at LaSalle. That was announced today. He will be the 19th head coach in the program's history for the last 5 seasons. Howard was one of Jay Wright's top assistants and recruiters. In that time, Villanova won 2 national championships and set an NCAA record for most wins in a 4-year span. Howard also spent 4 years as an assistant at LaSalle, and he says, well, that gives him an advantage.
Then, in the second part of this episode, you'll hear from Temple University head coach Aaron McKee, who played 13 seasons in the NBA. Aaron finished his career with the Lakers. He was Kobe's teammate there for 2 years. But before that, he had to guard him a couple of times each season, and throughout the 2001 NBA Finals, when Kobe's Lakers beat Aaron's 76ers.
Aaron McKee from downtown with 42 seconds left. So it's a 7-point game. 10 seconds remaining, and the Los Angeles Lakers will make it a 2nd straight NBA crown.
Finally, in the last part of this episode, you'll hear from Brett Brown. Brett has known Kobe for a long time and in a lot of ways. He game-planned against him and got to coach him in 2 NBA All-Star games when Brett was an assistant under Greg Popovich with the San Antonio Spurs. He coached against Kobe in the Olympics when Kobe was on the U.S. team and Brett was the head coach of the Australian team. And Brett was the Sixers head coach when Kobe played his final game in Philadelphia in December 2015.
He's a showman and it's showtime,
surprise,
right?
Surprise, surprise.
We knew he was coming with something a little extra tonight, no matter what has transpired in the first 16 games.
Oh, and he has another connection to Kobe. Brett's son, Sam, is a junior at Lower Merion and one of the top basketball players in the Philadelphia area. In this episode, we want to give you a sense of just how Kobe's presence and legend linger in the present day, how fresh they still are. In so many ways, they're as relevant as they've ever been.
And I remember saying, wow, there's something about this young little guy, and little did I know.
Bryant, another 3, and he drains it. They're loving this show from Kobe Bryant.
I'm Mike Sielski, and from Diversion Podcasts, this is I Am Kobe.
Hey, look. Watch me, create myself. Track line, time's up, create yourself. Late nights, go hard, create yourself. Gotta learn from the great minds. No, we ain't lying, tell them that it's game time.
Episode 11, Tricks of the Basketball Trade. If you're up on Philly basketball history, or have been paying close attention throughout this series, you might have already figured out there's a deeper connection between Ashley Howard and Kobe Bryant than what I explained in the introduction. Just pay attention to Ashley's last name, Howard. Yep, he's the son of Mo Howard, Joe Bryant's buddy from high school, who we've heard from across several episodes.
Did you meet Kobe Bryant? I met Kobe right when he first moved to the States from Italy. You know, our parents were close. My father and Joe, his father, were childhood friends.
Ashley Howard is in his fourth season as LaSalle's men's basketball coach, and I drove down to campus in late November to sit down and talk with him about Kobe. Ashley hasn't had a winning season yet, and he's still facing challenges similar to the ones that his storied predecessor, Speedy Morris, faced back when he was trying to coax Kobe to become an explorer. Budget constraints, a relative lack of resources, etc., etc. Even the men's basketball coach's office is just as modest as it was way back when I was a student there. It looks pretty much the same as it did when it was Speedy's office in the early 1990s. Back then, Ashley considered Kobe one of his basketball role models. He was 2 years younger than Kobe, and the two of them played in the Sunny Hill League at the same time. The Sunny Hill League was the training ground for adolescent basketball talent in and around Philadelphia. People call Sunny the mayor of basketball in Philly, and he founded the league in the late 1960s. The games were at Old McGonagall Hall on Temple's campus. If you were a promising young player, that was where you went to be seen, and it helped you build your reputation and get into the good pickup games at the city's rec centers. One of those games still stands out to Ashley. Kobe was about 13 at the time, so Ashley would have been about 11, and they were playing against each other at Justine Lake Recreation Center in the East Falls section of Philadelphia.
I remember I had a breakaway layup. Kobe was chasing me down, and I just jump stopped, and he flew over top of me, and I laid the ball in. And we're running down the court, and he said to me, "I gave you that one." I gave you that one. So that was one of my first memories of Kobe.
Because the Bryant and Howard families were so close, Ashley got to know Kobe pretty well when they were kids. And because Ashley was a darn good player himself, he went on to play Division I ball at Drexel University. He got an up-close look at Kobe's growth as a player during his teenage years. And that growth was unusual, to say the least. Kobe picked up on things, especially from his father and from his sisters, Sharia and Shea, both of whom were excellent athletes themselves. When Joe played in the NBA and internationally, for example, Kobe noticed that he always iced his knees and joints after every practice and game. And when his sisters played volleyball, they always wore knee pads. So he did the same thing. He was so skinny that he looked like a giraffe wearing a knight's armor.
Kobe used to wear these knee pads, and he used to ice his body up, like, after he played. And we would look at him at Augustine Lake, like, "Yo, what is this guy doing?" Like, he was, like, 14 years old, and his body's wrapped up in ice. But, like, I guess, like, he saw that when he was a kid playing, you know, watching his dad overseas, and like, okay, after you play, you ice your body up, you take care of your body, take care of your you know, you protect your knees. And that's what was different about Kobe. That's where you saw, like, the experience of being around his father, being around his uncle, Chubby, guys that played the game at an extremely high level, guys that were pros, and he was just analyzing and dissecting their every move. And learning just from being around the game at a high level.
Ashley saw, really, was the foundation of Kobe's game, like the substructure that would support all the other skills that would make him great.
I remember we played together in like a Philadelphia, New York game. It was like a 14 and under game. And, you know, I was younger at the time. I was probably 12 at this time. Kobe's 14. And, you know, we played together in the game. And, you know, I'm the point guard. Kobe's the big man. But it was like he still did everything, right? Like, you know, we were going to him. Like, he was scoring inside. He was stepping outside, making threes. He was going coast to coast, you know, dropping dimes. So he was different. Even at that age, he was not like everybody else. And I remember that just, you know, distinctly at that size. You know, I don't remember exactly how tall he was. He may have been like 6'3", 6'4". But he was taller than your average 14-year-old. And he was more skilled and more fundamentally sound than the average player at that age as well. Like, Kobe was very polished and mature and refined in his game at that time, especially playing amongst his age group. Like, you could tell that he was used to playing with older players, because he played the game with just a sense of maturity that everybody else wasn't playing with. From my perspective, the same person that I play with in the 14 and under New York Philadelphia game back in 1993 is the same person that I saw get 81 points on the Toronto Raptors. Same dude. You know what I mean?
Kobe Bryant, 28 for 46 from the field. This would be 18 for 20 from the line, and an 81-point game, 55 in the second half.
You got to get him out of the game. Somebody got.
Oh, it is out of
bounds. Ball, there it is.
Here we go. And Kobe get will ball. Be replaced, and listen to this crowd for number 8, Kobe Bryant.
He was always that guy. He was a killer. He was an assassin. He rose to the occasion. The bigger the competition, the bigger the performance.
So that was part one. That was Ashley Howard, who looked up to Kobe as a role model and a kind of idol, giving us a look at Kobe as a kid, as an up-and-comer, as a young man hungry for big competition and big stages.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com, Symbiotica.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hey, this is Mike Sielski, host and writer of I Am Kobe. This podcast project came out of my work on a related book called The Rise, Kobe Bryant and the Pursuit of Immortality. If you want to explore other parts of Kobe's story, check out The Rise. It's not just a book version of the podcast. I dive deeper into some of the topics covered in this series, and even some that we don't cover at all. Kobe's upbringing, his family, his identity, his effect on his friends and teammates, his journey into the NBA, and his earliest days with the Lakers. The Rise, Kobe Bryant and the Pursuit of Immortality is out now. Just head over to theriseofkobebook.com and you can buy it from any of your favorite retailers. That's theriseofkobebook.com. Thanks. Here in part two, we're going to get into Kobe the pro basketball player, Kobe the immortal. And for that Kobe, the competition was never bigger than it was in the seven NBA finals he reached during his 20-year career with the Lakers. People overlook that fact about him. Seven NBA finals. Michael Jordan only made six. Granted, Jordan and the Bulls won every time, and Kobe lost twice. But still, seven finals. Anyway, the second of those finals appearances came in 2001 against Kobe's hometown team, the Philadelphia 76ers. And one of the Sixers who drew the assignment of having to guard Kobe during that series was Aaron McKee.
Here is Shaw. Bryant with the rebound and the bucket.
It's a great offensive rebound. You know, Aaron McKee tried to go up with him. Kobe with the fresher legs.
McKee played 13 years in the NBA. And that season was his best. He was named the league's sixth man of the year. He averaged more than 11 points a game, shot 47% from the field, and established himself as one of the better defensive guards around. He and Kobe had some obvious similarities and some pretty big differences. Both of them had Philly roots. McKee had played for Simon Gratz High, one of the city's top programs, and for John Chaney at Temple. Both of them were roughly the same size. McKee was 6'5", Kobe was 6'6". Both were tough as dry rawhide. And McKee had played against Kobe in those memorable pickup games at the St. Joseph's University Fieldhouse during the summer of 1995.
When I was in college, he would come up and he was always had a high IQ. He always had the skill set. He was more athlete then, still polishing his game up early on. Can do just about anything and everything out on the court. You clearly saw that. Can defend, rebound, shoot, can go get a shot, you know, block shots, the whole nine. He was just electric and he was full of energy, 6'5", long. He was doing all of those things, but what he was missing at that time is just being polished up and really truly understanding the game and not having the strength. He was wiry strong, but he didn't have that man strength at that particular time. And then once he got to the NBA, he got polished up. He studied the game. He understood the game. He started hitting the weight room and getting stronger, you know, where he could take on the physicality of an NBA season. And then you started to see the total package. Here it is. You're talking about a premier offensive player who could have easily been MVP every year, but he was also one of the premier defensive players. So he prided himself on being a two-way player.
Even when Kobe was moving from high school into the NBA, the idea that his background as a suburban kid who might be intimidated by older, more experienced players never held any water with McKee. He knew better. He'd been too close to Kobe's flame to think such a thing.
Yeah, that was always a misconception. And it is, basketball is basketball. And really, that's the chip that he's always had on his shoulder. It was really the only thing that people could say to kind of, I'm not going to say it was a knock, but say, hey, let's play this against him. Oh, he's not from the inner city like most of the premier players were, you know, back then. He's from the suburbs, or he grew up in Italy, and he's different than us. He's not tougher, and he was one of the toughest guys that I knew. Mentally tough, because basketball is mentally tough. It's not physically tough. He was physically tough. He was mentally tough. You couldn't really talk to him because he was focused on what he was doing, and so you couldn't really rattle his cage with words or anything else you tried to do, push him or hit him or foul him hard, and that only made him stronger.
And a stronger Kobe was a problem for the Sixers. He and McKee were roughly the same size, but Kobe was more athletic, was a better shooter, had a wider array of offensive skills and moves. So entering the series, the plan for the Sixers wasn't to have McKee try to guard Kobe one-on-one. The plan was to use every available small forward and big guard the team had to throw everything and everyone they could at Kobe.
So I always just tried to touch him and make his shots difficult. I wasn't going to play undisciplined and try to run for steals and open it up for him and give him easy shots. I just wanted to try to make it as tough as possible for him, guard him, keep him in front of him, and putting him on the free throw line. Because all great scorers understand how to not only score the ball, but they understand when they're not making shots, they try to find ways to get layups. They try to find ways to get to the free throw line, and that helps those guys get going. We try to rotate guys on them. If it was myself, if it was Eric Snow, if it was, you know, whoever, Jermaine Jones, Roger Bell, we just wanted to rotate fresh bodies on them. Again, those guys, those sort of players see that night in and night out, where you're getting all these defensive coverages and double teams and those sort of things. So, you know, they're prepared for that. And so he's, you know, one of the all-time greats for a reason.
The Sixers shocked the Lakers and the basketball world by winning Game 1 of the Finals in overtime. You might remember that game. It featured the unforgettable sight of Allen Iverson swishing a baseline jump shot over Lakers guard Tyronn Lue, then stepping over Lue, who had fallen to the floor.
103 left in overtime. 101-99. Here's Iverson. Lue, the defender, stays right with him. Allen wants to go. Wants the baseline. Fade away. Yes.
He's way too good. He steps around Lue and throws it. The Sixers have scored 9 in a row.
7 straight points by Iverson. Looked like he was dead in the water.
Kobe would have liked to forget that entire game. It was his worst of that entire postseason. He took 22 shots, missed 15 of them, and scored just 15 points. McKee didn't expect him to repeat such a subpar performance in Game 2.
You know, when you're talking about one of the top 3 players in the league playing out in L.A., and you know, especially after us winning that first game, I knew he was going to come back with a different mindset. And it was, his mindset was always kill or be killed. And I knew he was going to come out firing away. And again, my thought process was, hey, we just got to make it difficult for him. He's going to come out firing and trying to carry the load and, you know, just try to find different ways to distract him. And you couldn't do those things. And so, you know, once he got into his rhythm, it was, you know, he became really difficult to guard.
Kobe on fire. Kobe Bryant to set up the short jumper. 6 points. 12 points in this first quarter for Kobe Bryant. 7 of 7 at the line. And you hear the chant of Kobe from this crowd here at Staples.
Kobe was back in his rhythm for most of the rest of the series. He scored 31 points in Game 2 and 32 points in Game 3. And the Lakers didn't lose again, rolling to a 5-game victory and the championship. After the last game of the finals, a photographer snapped a shot of Kobe sitting alone, hugging the Larry O'Brien trophy, a melancholy look on his face. He and his parents were not on speaking terms at the time. Their falling out over the direction of his life was recent and fresh. It was one of the most bittersweet moments of his career, and it happened in his hometown. But it was not his first memorable moment in Philadelphia against the Sixers, and it wasn't his last.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
In the first part of this episode, you heard Ashley Howard describe what Kobe was like when his basketball career was just starting. In the second part, Aaron McKee talked about what it was like to compete against Kobe in his prime. Kobe on basketball's biggest stage. Kobe winning a championship in the city of brotherly love. In the third and final part now, I thought it would be appropriate to focus on Kobe's debut in his hometown and his farewell in his hometown. On November 26, 1996, Kobe played in Philadelphia for the first time as a member of the Lakers. His family, his friends from Lower Merion, people who knew him from the Philly basketball scene, all of them were there to see him play. Then he went out there against a terrible Sixers team and took all of three shots in the first half. He missed them all. He didn't score a single point in the game's first 24 minutes. If you thought Kobe, even as an 18-year-old rookie, would be deterred by that poor performance, you haven't been paying attention over the previous 10 episodes of this series. He took more than twice as many shots in the second half, 7. This time, he made 4 of them. He finished with 12 points, the Lakers' precise margin of victory that night, 100-88. 4 months after that game, in March 1997, Kobe described the entire scene to Jeremy Treat.
Well, first half, I went out there. I just basically tried to get, you know, within the motion of the offense. I just went out there, swung the ball a couple times, tried to get a feel for the game. Then, you know, I went into the locker room, even though I don't think I scored a point in the first half. I knew that any time I could go out there and get mine. You know, I just had that confidence about me in doing the game. So I came out there in the second half, and then we were struggling a little bit. We needed somebody to step up and put some points on the board. I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and go for mine and do my thing and put some points up on the board. So that's what I did in the second half.
It was
just like high school. Just high school all over again. My whole family being there, the little man people being there, the media doubters. It's the same thing, same feeling. The only difference is I had on purple and gold.
What do you think of the ovation you got for
the ovation? It felt good, man. It felt good because I know there were a lot of people in Philly who requested my decision and saying that, you know, I couldn't make it or whatever, but I guess they were kind of pleased how I was able to handle myself and, you know, how I handled myself in that game. So I was happy.
Fast forward nearly 20 years. On December 1st, 2015, Kobe played in Philadelphia for the final time when the Sixers hosted the Lakers. But the game was interesting for reasons beyond the fact that it would be Kobe's last one in his hometown. For one thing, the Sixers had played 18 games that season before facing Kobe and the Lakers, and they had lost all 18. They were in the midst of the process, their controversial plan to tank for a few years, get some high draft picks and presumably some great players, and try to rebuild. For another, their head coach, Brett Brown, had spent as much time as anyone in the NBA studying Kobe or preparing to stop Kobe, or at least slow him down, or at least try. Brown knew that Kobe would want to put on a show in Philly, that he would be shooting the ball every chance he got. When Brown was working under Greg Popovich with the San Antonio Spurs, he and the other coaches would ask themselves the same question every time they had to face Kobe. And they'd answer it the same way every time. Here's Brown.
You know, what sword are you prepared to die on? It was always the three-point shot, you know. So if he was going to beat you with threes, you know, there wasn't much you could do about that if you did what you just said. What floor spots did you worry most about? He was incredibly efficient, proficient, pick a word, whatever word you want, at elbows and wings like that. We called it the Karl Malone line. That was Pop's verbiage. And if you just took sort of a line from the elbow of a foul line to the corner, that diagonal, that floor spot, he was incredible at.
You remember Karl Malone, right? He was the Hall of Fame power forward for the Utah Jazz. One of his bread-and-butter moves was a little half-fadeaway, half-jumper that he loved to shoot from a few feet inside the three-point arc. He'd usually be open to take that shot off a pick-and-pop with point guard John Stockton. That's what Brown means when he talks about the Karl Malone line. Draw a trapezoid on a basketball court, from the corners of the court to the upper corners of the lane, and Malone lived on the lines of that trapezoid. So did Kobe, and when it came to getting a shot off, he might have had the best footwork of any wing player in basketball history.
And, you know, without getting too technical on the specifics of his footwork, whether it was a forward pivot, whether it was an inside pivot, whether he really wanted his dominant pivot foot, which was his left foot and his right foot was free, where he could play a little bit of a rocket step type game. You know, those two elbows, those two Malone lines on the right side and the left side, he just was incredibly efficient and dangerous, especially from those spots. Kobe's footwork was impeccable. He was prideful at drilling it. He was adamant on dictating, like, this is how I'm going to play. And a lot of times, Mike, when you, as I said at the start, you know, 92-92, 6 seconds left, you can book it like he's going to be on one of the elbows or one of those Malone lines that I spoke of. And, you know, he's going to stick his dominant pivot foot. And then at that point, you've got your hands full.
So Brown and the Sixers picked their poison. They would let Kobe shoot threes. And, well, this happened.
But he's also one of their best three-point guys. Kobe loses him. Two in a row.
Dumb start to a game between the two worst records in the league.
Three in a row, shoot it again, Kobe, yes! He's 3 for 4!
The Sixers weren't just a bad team that season. They were a young, inexperienced team, starstruck by Kobe and the charged atmosphere inside the Wells Fargo Center. One of their best bench players, for example, was T.J. McConnell. McConnell has since established himself as one of the best backup point guards in the NBA. But at the time, he was just a rookie, and he and his teammates weren't carrying out the defensive strategy that Brown wanted them to play.
We wanted to blitz Kobe to go double-team him. And I remember calling a timeout and asking TJ, you know, are you going to blitz him or are you going to kiss him? TJ was starstruck. Mike, he was starstruck. Like, wow. All my guys, you know, want his autograph more than they want to defend him.
Well, and he came out and hit like 4 out of his first 5 shots.
He came out and I think with 10 minutes and like 40 seconds, he was 3 for 4 from threes. It's true. And they were all threes, which is what I said, you know, 10 minutes ago. If you had to, what sword you're going to die in, it's going to be the three. And it's true. He came into Philadelphia and just lit up the building at the start. The building was electric.
Bryant, another three, and he drains it. Kobe Bryant, his 4th 3 of the game, his 1st points of the quarter, but he's high man of the game with 16.
Kobe couldn't keep up his hot shooting. He finished 7 of 26 from the field and scored 20 points. And the Lakers actually lost. It was the Sixers' first victory of the season. I was in the building that night to write a column about Kobe for the Philadelphia Inquirer. The Philly fans had shown Kobe their love and appreciation for him in a way they never had before. But it was clear he wasn't really the same player anymore. He was 37. He moved a little slower, jumped a little lower. His footwork and fundamentals weren't enough to overcome the limitations that age had imposed on him. Plus, the sport was changing, centering itself around offensive efficiency and the three-point shot. The Golden State Warriors, with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, the best shooting backcourt the NBA has ever seen, had won the championship a few months earlier, and they were in the midst of a season in which they'd win a league record 73 games and reach the finals again. The idea that a team should build itself around a player like Kobe, a player who took long 2-point jumpers, a player who could score from anywhere on the floor and would shoot from even the places where the stats said he shouldn't, was totally passé.
If you can, kind of put Kobe in context in that regard. Like, would modern coaches allow him to play the way that he played, as silly as that sounds?
No, I mean, it's a good question. And I've seen a lot over 2 decades with trends and things in the NBA. You know, the NBA has changed in so many ways over that 20-year period that I'm speaking of. And, you know, with the exception of, what, 2 years, I was in the NBA every one of Kobe's years. And, you know, you look at it in the analytics topic that we're speaking of, it's one of the most profound things that have crept into our league. And I think at times, if you're not careful, it really crushes, I think, a spirit of a player. It can influence coaches if you're not careful. And it did me, you know, in ways that you look back and it's just negative. It doesn't let scorers score. Now, I think that blanket comment that I have just made can creep into other people, role players. You know, you don't want role players taking long twos that are contested. Like, we all get that. But, you know, Kobe Bryant's ability to just get buckets and score points and kind of do it when he put his mind to it is just off the charts. And so
after that game, Brown was in his office at the arena, still decompressing, when he heard a knock on his door. It was Alan Lumpkin, who has been the Sixers travel director and team liaison for years.
He said, "Coach, you have a guest who wants to say hello." And Kobe knocked on the door and came in. And I, as I said, you know, I'd known him because of the London Olympic Games, coaching against him overseas, a few All-Star games and this and that. So there was a brief history that I had with him. And he came in and he knew my son was going to Lower Merion High School. And obviously he had wished the Sixers well and me well, trying to, you know, get the program back on track. But I sat with him for 45 minutes. And they had to knock on my door and, you know, get him out, tell him, hey, the bus is leaving. They're going back to the hotel. But and so the conversation was all about now what for him. And he just blew me away with his vision of what he wanted his life to be after basketball. He was just in the game. He was engaged. There was just a glow and an energy about what was going to be next for Kobe. And it was a heck of a night. It was a great night.
Brett Brown was right. It was a heck of a night. I was there. And the love that Sixers fans and that Philadelphia in general showed to Kobe was something to see. He'd always had a love-hate relationship with the city, with a lot more emphasis on the hate. But I'd argue that's only because they were so alike and had so much in common. Kobe wanted to win more than anything. Philly fans want to win more than anything. Yeah, he wasn't really from the city. He was from the burbs. He was a Laker, blah, blah, blah. As you can see from this episode, from his early life, to the prime of his career, to the end of his 2 decades with the Lakers, Kobe was as tough, as driven, as determined to achieve greatness as anyone who ever played in the NBA. That's exactly the sort of athlete that a city like Philadelphia, or Los Angeles, or New York, or any city in the world would have appreciated and adored. No. Kobe technically wasn't from Philly. But if he had played in Philly, it would have been...
Five-time NBA champion, a 6'6 guard from Lower Merion High School, where he won the title in 1996. Number 24, Kobe Bryant!
Well, it would have been just about perfect. I Am Kobe is a production of Diversion Podcasts in association with iHeartRadio. This season is written and hosted by me, Mike Sielski. It's produced by Jacob Bronstein and directed by Mark Francis. Story editing by Jacob Bronstein with editorial direction from Scott Waxman. Editing, mixing, and sound design by Mark Francis. Stephen Tompkins is our production assistant. Our theme music is Create Yourself by Grover Brom, featuring Justin Starling. Find Create Yourself wherever you stream music. Music supervisor is Scott Velasquez for Freesan Sync. Executive producers are Mark Francis and Scott Waxman. Join the conversation about I Am Kobe on social media. On Twitter and Instagram, it's at Diversion Pods. Thanks to Oren Rosenbaum, Susan Canavan, and Jeremy Treatman.
Hey, look, I rise before the sun. They don't understand when I say the grind is fun. Never clock out, even when my work is done. If they trying to block me, I might hurt someone. Through the blood, sweat, and tears, we persevere. Stay killing it, better keep the Hershes near. If they don't believe in themselves, they revert to fear. Now the champ is here, so I'm telling them, that's my ambition. The reason why my work's so damn different. To the negatives, I can't listen. See me at the top, you can't miss it. I'ma mold the clay like cash is. See, I pay my dues plus taxes. Gotta work ethic and grind ahead of his time. If someone say that they made you, tell them you create yourself. On the bench, you finna watch us ball. It's about that time. You gotta stay clocked in brick by brick. We create ourselves. Watch me, watch me, watch me. Create myself. Shot clock, time's up. Create yourself. Stay nice, go hard, create yourself. Gotta learn from the great minds. No, we ain't lying, tell them that it's game time. This talent wasn't given, it was made. The future anytime I can change. Better tell them that I made it back home. As I walk through the halls of the fame. I came from the valley of the shadow of death. Waiting for a silver spoon, don't hold your breath. Same town, same dream, but I did it with less. I know who I'm meant to be, so there's nothing to guess. Yeah, there's nothing to guess. It's our time, tell them we up next. We don't got any regrets. I did it with my two hands and we never forget. That's my ambition. The reason why my work's so damn different. To the negatives, I can't listen. See me at the top, you can't miss it. For real. Rebuild, reshape. Give it your all, you got to risk take. Do it now and I'm saying why wait. If someone say that they made you, tell them you create yourself. On the bench, you finna watch us ball. It's about that time. You gotta stay clocked in brick by brick. We create ourselves. Watch me, watch me, create myself. Shot clock, time's up. Create yourself. Late nights, go hard. Create yourself. Gotta learn from the great minds. No, we ain't lying. Tell them that it's game time.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.